Hey, this is Phoebe Bridgers, and you're listening to 95B FM.
Alex Laurie is a Tamaki Makaurau-based artist working amongst sculpture and installation in response to site-specific and architectural contexts. The title of his current show on At Grace, Knit, is a three-letter homonym referring to 1. The egg or young form of a louse or other parasitic insect, 2. A foolish person, 3. A unit of luminance used to measure brightness. Within Knit, Laurie resumes his long-standing fascination with vessels. A magical sculptural water vessel awaits viewers as they enter the gallery, luring them in closer through its hypnotic circular movements of 5 wooden goblets amongst a bath of milky water. Venturing further into the gallery, a scullery of translucent spoons and ladles quickly shift into these illusionary ciphers that nod to the form of an egg, sinking in and out of their surroundings, refracting the light as they fall between. I had a korero with Alex Laurie about the show and overall practice. Could you start off by introducing yourself and your overall practice, the key mediums that you gravitate towards, as well as the thematic and or material glue of your practice, the thing that kind of acts as a undercurrent between all projects?
Hi, my name is Alex Laurie. I live in Tamaki. I work mostly with sculpture and installations, and the thematic glue, really be grasping here for exhibitions, probably responses to site-specific like architectural contexts, conversations with collaborators, or maybe examining the supports or so.
Mm.
I'm often making waterworks. It was the beginning of the commission, Emile's commission for the solo show, that there would be this element of biography. I met Emile at Elim, and at that time I was making little fountain things just for fun, and starting off with really gross ones with lots of liquid nails, glue, and then later searching for a framework to point at wetness as a freshly completed gesture, or dichotomies of wetness and dryness with activity and static things. So sort of continued to haunt the practice like that.
Mm. Nice. And I would like to start the conversation around the specific body of work by speaking to the title of your show, Knit. Could you speak to its triple meaning, as well as kind of your relationship to the word? Was it something that guided you throughout the making process, or was it something that arose out of it through the making?
I'd say it arose as part of the show development.
Mm.
I offered a number of titles, and Knit somehow survives the critique, even with its horrible connotations. I was reading this, reading about the mystery genre in fiction, and I just read this short story called The Zahir by Jorge Luis Borges, and the word Zahir is borrowed from Arabic. It's kind of evident or apparent, and in the story they describe the Zahir as being this object that has this power to create crazy obsession in anyone who sees it, and it could be a variety of things, but at the time it's this 20-cent coin that the protagonist, who's Jorge himself, gets his change in a bar.
Mm.
And it has the letters N and T and the number 2 scratched into it, and I think this was while I was figuring out what to put into the water, I don't know, maybe it would have been a coin, I don't know.
Yeah. And could you run through a bit its three specific meanings? Because I feel like it's quite, maybe not integral, but it really circulates the whole show and its meaning.
I suppose there's this theme of opacity and transparency.
Mm.
And maybe there's to that, the definition of Knit being this unit for brightness and screens, you can say that a TV screen has a certain number of a Knit rating or something.
Mm.
And then the knittiness of it, the creature of the Knit is and I could be an idea that is infectious, or it's sort of this tiny little nightmarish affliction that you could have, to maybe sort of feeds back into itself. And then the foolish foolish person. I don't know.
Yeah, it's got so many meanings and avenues, which is, really interesting. And at the centre of the gallery, a magical sculptural water vessel awaits viewers, luring them in closer through its hypnotic circular movements of five wooden goblets amongst a bath of milky water. You have a long-standing fascination with vessels such as ponds, troughs and buckets. What keeps you circling back to them? And did you find yourself landing on, I don't know, some kind of understanding of them or a shift in path of exploration through the making of the specific work?
Maybe this time around, because I've been working with Grace a little bit in the capacity of a technician, helping with some of the installs and sort of doing that as a job as well. It sort of made sense that I would make the ponds, or you know, the start of this plan with Emil to make a fountain based around that, or fed back in from the project at the Oyster, that we would take parts of the gallery and like feed it back into the show itself. So the sheet in the middle is sort of like a sheet that I would use as a painter's sheet, and used it to refurbish the gallery a bit, and the water itself is like made opaque with the same paint that the walls are painted with.
And as viewers venture further, they are led into a gallery of translucent spoons and ladles that quickly shift into these illusionary ciphers that nod to the form of an egg, sinking in and out of their surroundings, refracting the light as they fall between. Could you speak a little bit about this work, some of the conceptual thinking behind it, as well as what the process of making them look like?
Yeah, I like that you saw an egg.
Yeah, that was like one of the first things that I noticed about it, actually.
Yeah, the yellow.
Yeah.
The Perspex journey probably began a few years ago. I was working on a show with Tom Took and Priscilla Rose Howe, and Tom was presenting puppets that he made, as well as these automatons, these little robots. And we were looking at this 18th century automaton called the Silver Swan. Really encourage you to look at it. Great. It has this neck that moves around and catches a little fish, and it sits on the stream of twisted glass rods which rotate to emulate the currents. And this led to finding this other device that is specifically for puppet theatre, which shines like a lantern or a light through it, and it has similar rods that sort of work like a sunlight emulator. And I was working as a studio assistant at Monmouth Glassworks at the time, so I thought, great, let's make it from glass. But this didn't work out, sadly, and Perspex was the contingency plan.
Yeah.
And in a similar way, the spoons for Grace could be for like generating an atmosphere, I suppose.
And what are your hopes for viewers as they enter into the space of your show and engage with your work? Are there any little nuggets of thought that you hope that they leave with and kind of mull over?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really resistant to like give direction or apprehend interpretation, but like I do encourage folk to visit. Like the photos are already on the website. It feels like the show is already over, but it closes the top of August. It's been nice to like outside, they're still working on the road because it's the train station. They're kind of doing like the most amazing stuff all day, picking up the road and like kind of demonstrating that the world is kind of like constantly being created and destroyed. So there's sort of like maybe an element to that, like you can walk out of the rubble of the city and then into this like half-made gallery and perhaps like notice how it's all sort of a bit made up.
That was Alex Laurie speaking to me about Knit, which is on at Grace until the 2nd of August.